Well, I've been carrying a word now for a little while, I think. The seeds of this word started back in October when Bart G, remember Sam's brother, Bart G came to our church. And, I was overwhelmed by, what he brought and what he shared and what he was able to achieve. And you remember he talked about, what do you do when you see these crazy obstacles and challenges and difficulties and disability, and you want to do something but it seems impossible, and what do you see? And do you remember the answer that he said that he saw? He said he sees the possible, he sees possibilities, and that word just went ding, really just sank into my heart, and I've not forgotten it. And then more recently in November, I was with a whole number of church leaders down at Woody's and church leaders across Bristol, and we were sharing together, just about the challenges of leading church in these difficult times. And and all church leaders have found it really, really difficult. But we were in faith, and one of the things that Dave Mitchell said towards at the end of our time together, he just quoted a line out of Ezekiel 37. He says, "Can these bones live?" And he encourages us, actually, yes, they can. They can live. And again, that word just really resonated with me because, I've been feeling as I've been approaching 2022, and now we're in 2022, my feeling has been that, 2022 is a year of the possible. A year of the possible. I'm not just trying to create a soundbite here, but it's just something I feel in my spirit, this word possible is really important. It's been a crazy time, hasn't it? Towards the end of 2021, we felt things were getting better, didn't we? We genuinely thought, the statistics are going down, lots of things are starting to get back to normal again, reopen, etc. And blow me, what happened? Omicron. And Omicron just seemed to kind of pull the rug under our feet. Everything's gone pear-shaped again. The numbers are stupidly high. So fuel prices are like, I've not seen fuel prices like this for ever, I don't think. Normal fuel, gas, and just general cost of living is going up. People are very concerned about livelihoods, and it's kind of a worrying, desperate situation, isn't it? When will it come to an end, and what's it going to look like when we finally come through this? Well, I want to come back to this scripture in Ezekiel 37 because I think it's really key, and what I feel that God has been saying to me is that, as this year approaches, as we're into this new year now and we start moving forward, we need to approach this year with a sense of faith over fear and hope over despair. Those are two titles, incidentally, of the new teaching program that Nikki has pulled together, and you'll be hearing more about that as we go along. We'll probably send the program out. Hope, faith over fear, hope over despair. And for me, this is what Ezekiel 37 is really all about. The background to this scripture, I'm not going to spend too long, it's really similar to the background of the book of Nehemiah. We're talking pretty well in the same time frame. Some 100 years before we're talking about this thing, this story in Ezekiel, about 100 years before this, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken into exile by the Assyrians. And then in 597 BC, the southern kingdom, including Jerusalem, was taken into exile into Babylon, and the Babylonians had conquered the Assyrians. And Ezekiel was amongst the people who was carried off from Jerusalem into Babylon. He was married at this time, but we learn that his wife dies while they are in exile. And, so these are pretty depressing, desperate times for Ezekiel. He's not a happy chap. Things are pretty bleak. And 10 years later, it seems that God gets hold of Ezekiel and gives this incredible picture, this incredible vision. So let's read this story together, shall we, in Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. I'm reading out of the New International Version. It says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Great, great stories. This great scripture. It's a scripture I think many of us are familiar with. I used to love the Cliff Richard song, those bones, those dry bones. I mean, wave your hand if you're old and you know that. Well, it's a great song. Look it up on YouTube or something. I'm sure it's there. Well, as we walk through these scriptures this morning, I want to bring out three things, or three questions really for us to consider. What do you see? Do you see mountains or possibilities? What do you hear? Do you hear the voice of the world or do you hear the voice of God? What do you speak? You speak life or death? But before we consider these questions, I just want to point out something really important that is in verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he took me out by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if at this time you are kind of living your life really to please yourself, that really the only thing that matters is pursuing your own desires and your aspirations and your dreams, and you're pretty indifferent really to what really matters to God, and you don't feel that heartache of God when he considers the state of the world and where people are at in terms of himself, and you don't feel that sense of mission. You know, you're quite happy just coming to church, you love singing the songs, you love hearing the teaching, but really nothing much is going inside in terms of that sense of God burden for the world. Then what I'm going to share this morning is probably not going to mean a lot to you. Because this is where I'm coming from. I think this is where this scripture is coming from. And just to point out, if you are in that sense of indifference to the purposes of God, it's often at these sort of times that God comes knocking on your door and creating some situations to make you aware of what really matters to him. Okay, so I'm going to assume today, and hopefully this is a good assumption, I'm going to assume that we are a people in this church who feels the burden of God, who actually does want to make a difference, who cares for the world, who cares for people, who cares for the fact that people are lost, who cares for the fact that we have an answer and we can give them that answer. Okay, I believe that's it. I know this is certainly how I feel. I also want to point out, before we get into these questions, that, and I've said this already, you know, Ezekiel at this moment in time is not on a mountaintop experience. He's not jumping around saying, hey, praise God, it's a God good, hallelujah, we're victory. You know, this is not where Ezekiel's at. He's probably pretty fed up. You know, he's in exile, he's lost his wife, the nation of Israel seems completely destroyed. You know, things are bad. And yet, God is going to use him to speak and bring life. So I want to dismiss right from the start that, you know, if you feel, oh, I'm in a bad place, I can't be used from God, that is rubbish, quite frankly. And no matter where you are, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what circumstances you're going through, no matter how dark your life might seem, no matter what valley you're in, you can bring life to somebody God brings in your way. Okay? I believe that's the truth, and I will say that right up front. Okay, so let's consider these questions. What do you see? Well, what did Ezekiel see when God took him into the middle of the valley of dry bones? Well, verse 2 says this, that God led him back and forth among them, and he saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Note that phrase, very dry. I'm sure that word is there for a reason. You know, I don't think God wanted Ezekiel to see things through rose-tinted glasses. He wanted Ezekiel to see the genuine state of his nation, of his people. And what was the state of this nation? That it was dry. It was very dry. It was dead. It was scattered. It was lifeless. This nation was in a mess. And God didn't want him to see through rose-tinted glasses. He wanted him to see the truth. And you know, sometimes the truth is hard. Sometimes it's hard to accept what we see and what we feel, or hard, you know, to accept what things happen to us. You know, when I look at the state of the world, I don't see a pretty picture. You know, I think that the state of the world is pretty bad. And I think God wants us to see realistically the truth of where the world is at the moment. I think God wants us to see where the church is as well, and where the church may be failing. Maybe, you know, even in our own circumstances, you know, God wants us to see, you know, that when we come alongside people and in our families and in our workplaces, God wants us to see beyond the veneer of, oh, yeah, everything's fine, thank you, yeah, I'm good. We always hear that phrase, don't we? And yet often it's a veneer, and underneath the things going on in lives that, you know, they don't want to talk about because they're ashamed or embarrassed or whatever. But God wants to see us to see the truth, to see beyond the veneer and see the hurt, the pain, the challenges, the difficulties, the loneliness. He wants us to see. He wants us to see. And even maybe your own personal circumstances, things that you may be struggling with at the moment that maybe you try and dismiss or pretend they're not there, but they are there. God wants you to admit they are there. They are there. You know, it is okay. It's okay to see the mountains. It is okay to see the mountains, but we need to see the possibilities that are beyond those mountains. Now, I reckon, you know, maybe when I pose that question, what do you see? Do you see mountains or do you see possibilities? There might have been a bit of an implication that I was inferring that you should only see you should only see the possibilities. You should be seeing mountains. But actually, I wasn't saying that. I wasn't saying that. It's okay to see mountains. It's okay to see challenges. It's okay to see the valleys. It's okay to see the dry bones. But God wants us to see beyond the mountains. God wants us to see the possibility that's behind those mountains. And I believe Ezekiel, when God took him into the valley of dry bones, I believe Ezekiel also saw possibilities beyond, you know, what he saw. Why do I believe that? Well, I believe it because of the way Ezekiel responds to this question when God said to him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" It's the way he answered that makes me think that Ezekiel saw beyond the mountain. You see, because if all Ezekiel could see was these dry bones, these very dry bones, He probably would have replied something like, "Are you kidding? Can these bones live? Of course they can't. Look at it. They're completely dead. They're completely dried up. They're not even joined together. They're scattered all over the place. There's no flesh and bone. How possibly could these bones live? No way." And that would have been a quite natural, normal, respectful, believable answer to give. But he was talking to God. What Ezekiel actually said was, "Sovereign Lord, only you know." It's a really tentative answer, isn't it? I love it though, actually. I really love that answer. Essentially, what Ezekiel was saying, look, with you in control, well, possibly. possibly. Now, you might think that sounds an awful response to God. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Well, possibly. But I think that is a small seed of faith. God, if you say so, then, well, then possibly they can. Possibly they can. Small seed, but a seed nonetheless. And I think he probably saw that possibility because the hand of the Lord was upon him and the Spirit of the Lord was leading him, which is why, you know, we need the hand of God. We need to be walking with God, and we need the Spirit of God. We need to be living and moving in the Spirit so that we can see these possibilities, even if they are only a small possibility. We can see it beyond the mountain. You know, we've been singing, haven't we? There's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't raise, no soul that you can't save. All things are possible. You know, I think it is good and necessary that we see the reality of the desperation of this world and the desperation of people around us. I think it's important that we see the desperation of some of our own situations and circumstances, but we have to see beyond the challenge. We have to see beyond the mountain and see that with God, all things are possible. Possibly, Lord. You know, I just find it refreshing. He's not, you know, Ezekiel's not saying, hallelujah, I'm a man of faith. Of course, I stand on the word of God, praise the Lord, you know, victorious over. You know, he's not kind of hyping himself up. And, there's, you know, and I'm not against hyping it, because sometimes you need to kind of build yourself up, don't you, when you're feeling low. So you've just got to get there. But sometimes you've just got to say to God, well, if you're in control, then possibly we can do this. You know, when I look at the church, this church, what a wonderful group of people you are. When I look at this church, I love what I see. You know, I just love this church. I love our heart for God. I see a church that loves God. I see a church that loves worshiping God. You know, I enjoy our worship. I enjoy our teaching. I enjoy the fact that we, you know, even though we don't have our own building, we do our best to serve the kingdom of God, and we get involved in all sorts of things, and we'll be looking at a lot of these things at family time. At the same time, you know, this church has been together since 2012, and we've hardly seen anybody being born again. I'm really sorry if that sounds really doom and gloom, but I'm just talking about reality. I'm talking about not looking at things through rose-tinted glasses. And it burdens me that we've not seen many people being born again. And I ask myself, you know, can this ever happen? You know, are we too old now to, you know, to see a real change in the life of this church? Are we, you know, are we just at the age now that we can just see our things through? You know, can New Life Church see new life? Possibly. If we're willing to listen to God, if we're willing to move in the Spirit, if we're willing for this church to be led and moved by the hand of God to where God wants us to see, then these bones can live and new life can with God. It brings me in today to my second question. What do you hear? Do you hear the voice of the world or the voice of God? It's no secret. Well, some of you may not be aware of this, I'd be aware. It's generally no secret. I find it hard being around people who are constantly negative. Moan, groan, negative, this, negative, oh, this can't be done, that can't be done, oh, isn't life miserable, blah, 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 blah. Just drains the life out of you. Drains the life out of me. I'm sorry, you know, if you're not going to come and speak to me again because you're that kind of person. But I just find constant negativity draining. Draining. It draws my faith out of me. You know, Buddy Harrison, many of you will remember a guy called Buddy Harrison. He was around in the 80s, 90s, probably before then as well. He had this phrase that I always remember. It says, what you hear is what you see is what you do. So we've just been talking about what do you see, but you know, what you see is linked often to what you hear. If you know, if you told me you were going to go and see somebody, and I said, "Ooh, I know that person, terrible person. Goodness me, you really want to watch what you do with that person. You know, before you know it, they'll have you doing all sorts of things you don't want to do, and they'll steal from you. You just got to be very careful. Right? That's the picture I've given you of this person you're going to meet. So now you're going to be forming an image. You've not met this person before, but you formed an image now of what this person's like. And you might make them look like somebody you know who's described the way I've just described it. It might be like some TV character. And then when you get to meet this person, what you're going to do, you're going to be on your guard. You're going to be careful what you say. You're going to be careful what you do. You're going to be careful what you let them do or say to you. All because I sowed something into your mind through what I said. What you hear is what you see, is what you do. Imagine if Ezekiel, when he was stood in the valley of dry bones, imagine if he had somebody standing next to him saying something, you know, look at these bones. Oh, this is terrible. Just look what our nation has become. You know, we're dead, we're finished. There's no hope all over the place. No hope. I wonder how that might have influenced how Ezekiel might have answered that question to God when God said, can these bones live? Already he'd been sown so much negativity, so much hopelessness. That's why we need to be careful who we listen to, what we listen to. And I'm not saying, you know, put your hands over your ears and go, la, 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 I don't want to hear this, go away, please. Because, you know, in the same way as we need to see reality, we need to hear reality. But in the same way as we need to see beyond the mountain and see the possibilities beyond the mountain, whose voice is louder? Is the voice of the world louder into your life, or is the voice of God? You know, who do you listen to? Which voice ultimately is the influence of your life? And sometimes, you know, we need to silence voices that make us believe the wrong things or make us do the wrong things. You know, God said to Ezekiel, speak to the dry bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. You know, God essentially answers his own question, doesn't he? He says, yes, these bones can live. All you need to do is speak what I tell you to say. But yes, these bones can live. And this prophecy, which is what this is, you know, this prophecy was actually fulfilled not long afterwards, 70 years, when Cyrus, king of Persia, and we've learned about this in the story of Nehemiah, these things all come together. He came to the throne, allowed many of the Jews to return to Jerusalem, and they started to rebuild the temple, rebuild the city, and rebuild their nation. So this prophecy started to be fulfilled. That they, you know, the breath was being brought back into them and they were coming back to life again and they did know the Lord. Unfortunately, also we learned from the story of Nehemiah, this didn't last. They fell back into their old ways and eventually they were overthrown by the Roman Empire. And then eventually, I don't know, 70 AD or something like that, eventually they just all over the place. And the whole nation of Israel was no longer a nation. They were just scattered across the world. The continents. Except in 1948, who was alive in 1948? Anybody? Yay, John and Paulie, praise God. In 1948, in the lifetime of somebody in this church, the nation of Israel was re-established. Incredibly. From not being a nation, this is unbelievable. But it happened. The nation of Israel was established again. So, you know, again, this prophecy. And there's still work to be done, I think, in the nation of Israel that really makes this prophecy come so true. All things are possible. All things are possible. You know, we need the hand of God on our lives so we can see the possibilities beyond the mountains and so we can hear the voice of God. And we can hear what God is saying about any situation or any person that we find ourselves in or alongside. And God, I believe, is saying to us, these bones can live. No matter what you see, no matter how desperate a situation might be, God is saying these bones can live. You know, the world, and I do feel desperate about the world, but the world, despite how desperate, despite the mess this world is in, it's full of possibilities. The world we are living in is full of possibilities for the kingdom of God, because I believe that's what God is saying to us. We've got to see those possibilities beyond the desperation. You know, even though I look around and I think I do see this, there's a general indifference to the things of God, and there's a general indifference to God, and there's a general indifference to the church. In spite of that indifference, God says the harvest is plentiful. That's what he says. We've just got to go out there and bring life to these dead bones. We need to be listening to the voice of God. Which is why, you know, as I think about our prayer meetings, it was wonderful to pray on Wednesday this week, and we're going to continue to pray once a month as a church. I'd love to see more people coming to our church prayer meetings. But one of the things I really want to see our prayer meetings, you know, evolve into, and it'll just happen over time, is we start spending more time listening, you know, giving space for the prophetic word of God, that inspiration of the Holy Spirit to fill us. And then when we feel these things, we can share them with each other. We can speak them out. We can hear what God is saying, and we can pray those into being. I think it'll just add another dimension. And we do some of that already. It's not that we're not doing that. I just feel it's what God wants. He wants to increase that sense of prophetic in our times. Speaking it out, which brings me to my final point. Speaking out. What do you speak? Do you speak life or death? What did Ezekiel do when God spoke to him about the bones being able to live? He obeyed God and he spoke. He spoke prophetically over those bones, and they started to rattle and come together. What do I mean when I say that he spoke prophetically? It's a bit jargonish, isn't it? What I mean by speaking prophetically is he spoke something inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's essentially speaking God's word. It may be something that's to come. It may just be into a situation, but he's feeling inspired by God, and he's speaking out what he's hearing and speaking prophetically. And what Ezekiel did, he spoke prophetically what God spoke into his spirit. He spoke life to those bones. And as he spoke, that's what the scripture says, the bones started to rattle. And they came together, and the skin, and I believe that, you know, we need to start speaking if we want to start seeing things happen. It's time for us to speak life over our communities. Our communities, you know, our friends, our neighbours, our families, our workplaces, our church, our neighbourhoods. We need to start speaking life into these situations. How do we do that? Well, we need to be spending time with God. We need to be listening to God. God, you need to be looking. God, what am I seeing here? And God, you know, what is it you're saying? And as you have a sense of what you see and what you hear, speak out what God tells you to speak it out. I don't necessarily say speak to them, although there will be opportunities to do that. But in the quietness of where you are, just start speaking out. Just start speaking out. You know, I'm having to do this myself. I'm not sharing with you what I am not doing myself. You know, there are situations in my life at the moment, that are really challenging and really difficult and really heartbreaking. And what I am doing at this moment in time, when I am on my own, you know, I am speaking life. I'm speaking truth. I am speaking freedom. I am speaking healing. I am speaking restoration. These are the things that I'm speaking, into my situation. You know, you might have, people who are, situations where you've just not seen any movement. We kind of hinted that earlier in the meeting, you know, things have just gone on and on and on. Speak life. Speak life. Maybe then it'll start to move. Thing is, as he spoke, these things came together, the bones started to rattle, but there was still no life at this point. It wasn't until Ezekiel called on the breath of God to come and fill them, and that's when they came to life. You remember again at the end of the story of Nehemiah, I said, didn't I, that the reason things failed was they didn't have that sense of indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It was all kind of hard work, and eventually it all failed. We are nothing without the Holy Spirit. You know, in a sense, we if you try and do all these things, we end up being like these bodies in the desert, in the valley. They kind of came together and they had skin and bone and all this sort of thing, but they were dead. They were lifeless. Looked okay on the outside, looked like a perfectly good body, but there was no life. Gosh, I do not want to be like that myself as a Christian. I do not want to be a lifeless Christian. And I certainly do not want this church to be a lifeless church. I don't want it just to look good on the outside, but on the inside, the power of God is absent. I'd rather it the other way around. I'd rather it look a mess, but moving in the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit if we're going to do anything and achieve anything that's worthwhile in the kingdom of God. We need to speak, we need the Spirit of life, and we need prophetically to be speaking life over those people. And the other thing is, I'd say this, is I don't think it's ever God's intention to leave us feeling helpless in the valley of dry bones. I don't think God wanted Ezekiel to see these dry bones. They're pretty tough, isn't it, Ezekiel? Anyway, wake up, get on with things, and just leave Ezekiel in that desperate mess. Now, God gave him the word of hope, gave him a word of promise, gave him the tools he needed to speak life and change the situation. I don't believe God ever wants us to leave us feeling helpless about anything. You know, we run to God, we look to God, we ask God to open our eyes, we ask God to open our ears, and we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and give us the words of life that we can speak into these situations so they are not helpless. But rather, they are full of hope. Let me summarise. I don't believe God has ever promised us a life without challenges and disappointments and difficulties, hurt or pain. You know that. I don't think he ever said we would not face mountains or we'd have to travel through the valleys of the shadow of death. But in all these things, I really believe it's possible to find life. And not just find life, but to bring life. To actually bring things into life by holding on to God and speaking, to see the possibility and believing and trusting in God. What do you see? Mountains or possibilities? What do you hear? The voice of God, of the world, or the voice of God? What do you speak? Do you speak death, or do you speak life? I want to finish by playing to you a song. It's a song by Toby Mac called Speak Life. And the words go like this. Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Though it's crazy, amazing, we can turn a heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Speak life to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life. Speak life when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted and watch them come alive as you speak hope. Speak love. You speak life. Speak life. Some days the tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do. I don't. I will. I won't. Oh, it's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Let's listen to this great song.
Some days life feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing. We can turn our hearts.
sane. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Broken, live or die. So speak. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak.
Every time I watch this video, I find it so moving. The change from one situation to the next. You, I, we can do that. We can bring life through the things we say, the things we speak. Just got to walk with God. Let the Holy Spirit fill us, cause us to see, hear, and speak. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will really rise to this challenge of a year of possibilities, that we can come alongside people and we can make a difference in a world that seems so full of hopelessness. Lord, we can bring hope, we can speak hope, we can speak love, we can speak life, and we can bring life in the power of the Holy Spirit as we listen and obey. God, may we as a church, Lord, rise. Rise, Lord, like Ezekiel rose and brought life to his nation through speaking. Help us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.